Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back for more Car Care Talk here on News Talk A3OWCCO. Denny Long here. If you're new to the show, thanks for checking in. Let me introduce you to Nick Stoffel. Nick runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. He is an ASE-certified technician, and he's got a bunch of great crew there that does the same quality stuff. Nick, good morning to you. I just have a feeling Lloyd's is going to be kind of packed with some cold weather issues this week.
Yeah,
just a guess.
Well, that forecast with, you know, the dipping well below zero here on the overnights will definitely make those cars that are on the cusp, you know, figure out if they're going to start or not, and then we'll be there, and now all your shops are ready to go. We've all seen the forecast. We're all ready to go. We're stocked up on batteries, so whatever happens will happen, and we'll manage accordingly.
That was going to be my next question, because you and I talked several weeks ago about batteries and the concern that you might get such an influx of requests, but you just mentioned you can handle it, and that's good. I got to ask you something, and then, by the way, before we even ask my question, let me welcome our listeners to do the same, either by phone or by text. Any kind of a car care question you may have, if you need to bring in your car for service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, but you want to know what's going on beforehand, and keep in mind, Nick takes his leave about 7:45, so if you think of something, by all means, don't wait. Glad to hear from you, either by phone or by text. Here is the number, 651-461-9226. Glad to hear from you this morning. As far as, what do I call it? I guess it's a battery charger. I bought it several years ago, and and this car is outside. And boy, it's been having trouble. During, 20 degrees above, it's fine. It starts just fine, like it's a fresh battery. Now, when it's below zero, especially, it'll hardly crank over. So I plugged in my battery charger, or tender, whatever you call it, and it works fine. Then it goes on the screen, and I know it's a shortened term for flow. And you had mentioned that word before. What does that mean when you see that on a gauge?
So what you're referring to is a battery tender, and the idea behind the battery tender keeps the battery topped off, keeps it full. If you have a dead battery, it's not going to give enough current to really charge it up, or if it did, it would take an extremely long period of time. It's putting out maybe an amp or so. So that's a very small amount of current, but the idea is it doesn't allow the battery to dip below enough state of charge, so you have problems starting. Now, a battery charger, where you have the setting the 2, 10, 20, or the full cranking surge, that is a battery charger. They're larger cables. It's a larger machine. What you have, Danny, is a little handheld piece. It's the size of one of those large outlet, for like your old gaming system or something you plug into the wall. So
yeah.
The idea behind the tender Like I said, to keep the battery topped off. So if your battery, if your car's sitting for an extended period of time, if you're headed out of town, or if you're, you know, not going to be driving for a month or so, you have a place to park it where it can safely be plugged in. By all means, I think it's a great idea. I would not put a battery charger on a vehicle. You don't want to overcharge your battery because that could be really bad for it and create other problems also. So there's two different tools there. Battery charger is a large suitcase type size item. The other one's, you know, a couple decks of cards stacked up on each other. So don't get the two mixed up. If your car is having a hard time starting when it's cold, it's kind of giving you that heads up, like, my battery's getting old. It doesn't have the capacity. So when it gets cold, the capacity is going to lower in a battery. It's just the way the science works, the chemistry works. So if that's happening for you, or this next few days, if you say, boy, really was hard to, you know, get the car started this morning, a couple things you can do is make sure when you drive the vehicle, you're going a long distance, allowing that alternator to fully charge the battery, give it the best opportunity to start again in the morning. If it's a short trip, you have the radio going on, you have the heated seats going on, you have all those things going on, you're taking reserve from the battery, and if you don't drive for a long enough period of time, the alternator doesn't have the opportunity to recharge the battery. So you're just kind of fighting yourself there. So if you know, in these next couple of days, it's supposed to be, you know, teens below zero overnight. It's really going to test our cars. It's going to test our batteries. So give your car the best opportunity. Make sure that battery is fully charged up. So if you're running to the store, running some errands, drive an extra 15 minutes. Give it the chance to really top it off. So in the morning, it'll start up for you.
Good idea. Looking at that forecast, Monday night, weather folks say it's going to get down to 17 below here in the Twin Cities. That'll be a true test. All right, let's look at some text questions that have come in this morning. Texter says, how much does it really help to plug your truck in with a block heater on cold nights? They still have block heaters?
They do. I understand that 17 below is really cold, but I don't, you know, to a car, I don't think it matters that much. You know, if you have a well-maintained vehicle, it's had a fresh oil change, you have a good, strong battery, it's not, your car's going to start up just fine. The key, though, is you need to drive it. We need to get the car warmed up, the engine warmed up, get the alternator charging the battery, like I just mentioned, allow the fuel system and everything to get working properly, so you don't have a situation. What can happen is you start the car, you make a quick trip, you shut it off, and you go to restart it. It doesn't like to start. Well, because nothing, you know, didn't completely warm up, so you have the chance of flooding an engine, which I want to be careful here because, you know, I don't want people to worry too much. But if you start your car in a cold morning as such, move it, you know, out of the parking spot, move it over and shut it right off, that's really hard on it because the car did get warmed up. The engine's computer system didn't get time to go into what we call a closed loop, which allows things to run properly. It allows the fuel system, the fuel mixtures, and all that to be where they want to be. So I wouldn't overthink it. If you're going to be out and about the next couple of days, just, you know, follow the routine. My only suggestion, like I said, is to drive a few extra minutes just to allow things to fully warm up and charge up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Texter says this, Nick, it's a 23 RAV4. The battery died. Charged battery runs fine. Now the radio screen is black. There's no map, no phone. What happened?
Well, the first thing you always check would be a fuse. My suspicion is something happened there when you were maybe charging the battery, maybe a little arcing or something, it popped a fuse or two. You know, if everything else was operating, working fine, you probably, maybe it's just that circuit. So, you know, get the owner's manual or look online, identify which fuse it is, you know, pull that fuse out. You know, a lot of times there's extra fuses in the box, you know, try to locate one of those. Make sure you replace with the same amperage. If it's a 15 amp fuse, make sure you replace with the 15 amp fuse. You don't want to put a higher rated fuse in there, because then you have the risk that there is something else going on. If that fuse doesn't pop when it's supposed to, you could damage other things. So always keep in mind on that note, too, because you don't, I didn't have a 15, I only had a 30, so I sort of stuck it in there. That's a bad idea. Don't do that, because if there is a bigger problem, you're going to ruin more things.
Absolutely. All right, hang on. We're going to take a quick message or two, and then be right back. We've got more texts coming in on our Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday morning in the 7 o'clock. Our thanks to Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned. We're going to get a phone call. I think Rodney's going to be first up here on the phone, so don't go away. More car talk here on News Talk, 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Danny Long here. Nick Stoffel's with us from Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, again, for those folks that maybe need some help, and boy, we're getting a lot of questions in this morning, so evidently it's the help is requested. How do we find you guys at Lloyd's?
Yes, sir. Like you mentioned, if you have a question, need some advice before you take your car into your dealership or your shop, you can always give us a call. We don't mind. We don't mind at all. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're out and about this next week when it's nice and chilly, you can come watch the madness at Lloyd's. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. That's two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And last but always, do check out our website, and that's lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Nick, speaking of phone calls, we have some. Rodney, first up here from Kilkenny, is calling in this morning. Rodney, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Nick?
Yeah, I have a 08 Ford Escape, and the power steering went out. It's got the electronic power steering. A guy that works on my car, he checked the fuses. They were good. I was wondering, and then he called, and I don't know who he called, but they said there was no recall on it, but I was on the online last night, and I guess there is a recall on that. I was wondering, is there like a time limit or a mileage limit on when these recalls, if they ever expire?
There can be. What I would suggest that you do is call a Ford dealership themselves. Make sure you have your vehicle identification number, what's called the VIN number, so you can call them, talk to the service department, say, hey, you know, explain the power steering, that the unit's gone bad there. Ask them if there's a recall. You should be able to give them that VIN number. They can enter it into their database, and they should be able to have that answer for you. For the safety type recalls, typically there's not a time limit on all of them, but there are some. Some do age out or time out, and I'm not going to know specifically on every one. So, like I said, call your local dealership. Have the VIN number ready and handy there, so they're going to want that. Once you give them that information, they should be able to tell you whether or not there's an active recall for your vehicle.
Good idea. Let's grab another phone call, Nick. Bob calling in from Painesville this morning. Morning, Bob. What is your question for Nick?
Well, I have a issue with my 2008 Pontiac Grand Prix. It's got about 176,000 miles on it. And the heat coming out of the vents is not as hot as it used to be. And the thermostat was replaced, so the engine is reaching proper temperature. But I just wondering if the heater core could maybe be plugged.
That's a good possibility. It could also be something with one of those temperature doors and the heater box. You know, the first thing I would do is have your mechanic or yourself, if you have one of those infrared temperature gauges, check the temperature in and out of the heater core. You know, if you're not seeing the hot water going in, then, you know, there's a restriction somewhere. But if you're not seeing a change in that temperature, then we know there's a restriction there. And then obviously also check the temperature of the heat coming out of the vent and check both sides, both locations. A lot of times it can be side to side, where if you have a temperature door that's not behaving properly on the passenger side, the driver's side might be fine. So first check the temperature on those heater hoses right at the firewall. Second thing, check the temperature inside the vehicle. And if you do a little bit of that, you should be able to determine, is it the heater core or the heater box where I'm losing that heat? And then, you know, advise you from there.
Okay. Let's see. Boy, we got some text to take care of here. Here's another one. During the week, tire pressure light comes on for a bit, then goes off. Next day, it doesn't come on at all. Day after, it does come on. I've checked the tire pressure. It's all fine. What do you think likely is the problem?
This is a common question we get this time of the year. It's just on the cusp of the minimum pressure. So if it's reading 32 and that's the minimum, adjust it to 34 or 35. 2 or 3 PSI is not going to make a difference. But what it will do when it gets real cold like this and the temperatures drop a bit, it won't hit that threshold where the light comes on, because there's a set in every vehicle, whether it's 32, 34, or even higher on some of the trucks. But you drop the pressure drops below that setting. The computer system sees that. It's going to turn the light on because it thinks the tire is low. once you start driving the tire and the tires warm up, that pressure will increase a little bit, and it's only changing a few PSI, but it'll increase enough to satisfy the system. There's a light will go out. So if you go up, add just 2 or 3 PSI, that'll satisfy the computer system even on the cold days and keep that light off.
Very good. So we have another phone call, Nick. Tim's calling in this morning from Andover, Minnesota. Tim, thank you. What is your question?
Question is, someone told me that you can use toothpaste for cleaning the lenses on your car, the headlight lens. Or is there a product out there?
Yeah, what you're doing is you're trying to remove that oxidation, and there's a lot of those products that can help. How long they help for it depends. I believe the only true way is to kind of get through with a, you know, we use a system that's a 6-step system where we're actually sanding and removing that. You got to be very careful that you don't go too deep because you don't want to damage the lenses. And it takes time. You know, I've seen these infomercials too where you can clear them up in 15 seconds. Well, when we go through the procedure that we do, it takes about a half hour each lens. So it's an hour or hour and a half of time to properly cut through all that. So you can try those products. Make sure you follow the instructions properly, or you can, you know, you can try some of those do it yourself. I've heard that with, I think it was bug repellent too, but you got to be careful because that stuff can also create bigger problems. So my advice is, you know, do a little more research. I don't necessarily like it because I don't think it does the full job, but I don't think the toothpaste is going to harm anything.
It's in your medicine cabinet. I saw a video yesterday of a guy using shaving cream to clean his windshield. You never know where it's going to come from. Let's do one more before we have a look at that cold forecast. This is a 2018 Crosstrek. Runs fine, but this is the first year that it shows low pressure light when really cold. Seems that the spare tire is the worst. Why doing this now after all these years, listener is asking.
Well, my guess would be, you know, we don't ever use our spare tire. And some vehicles do have a sensor, which is nice to know if your spare tire is low on air, because if you have a flat, you don't need to have you don't need two flats. you're in a tough spot. And I just think that, you know, that pressure slowly depleted over time. I'm sure if you top it back up to where it should be, it'll be fine. You know, and I don't know why they go so slow, but you know, this time of the year, we always talk about tire pressures, we talk about batteries, and you know, take it easy on your mechanic these next few days. They're going to be busy, so if the tires are close to being full, maybe wait until Wednesday. But you know, other than that, I guess I would just keep them full.
Yeah, hang on, Nick. We're going to look at that forecast. Be right back with more of the show. So stay with us here, News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning to you. Another Saturday morning when we talk cars, along with Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Tech, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those car care questions as usual this morning. And we still have a bunch, Nick, to keep you working. Here is another text that came in just a bit ago. 2007 high-mileage vehicle has an RPM surge at times, going from first to second gear around 20 to 30 miles an hour. Any idea of what's causing that?
You know, you start to worry, is the transmission slipping? You know, you can always check the fluid there, the condition and the level. You know, my standard answer is always going to be connect a scan tool, see what kind of data is going on, see if there's any code stored. I probably would get that in sooner than later, maybe not the first half of the week here, let people get caught up after the cold. But if there is a slipping of the transmission or a surge in there, you don't want to run the risk of creating more damage. So maybe have that assessed, checked out, see the severity of it, and then decide if you want to fix it or kind of, you know, live with it, I guess.
Nick, this next listener wants a tire recommendation. What type of replacement tires do you recommend for a 2020 Ford Escape? Original equipment is Michelin Primacy All Season, which had worn tread before 30,000 miles. Doesn't perform well in water and snow. What kind of tire, not a brand necessarily, would you put on a 2020 Ford Escape?
So what I would say, it definitely seems that oftentimes the tires that come on the vehicle when they're new don't last as long as we'd like. And I don't know the reason there. I don't want to guess. But, you know, recommendation, you know, your local dealership or your regular shop that you take your vehicle to, you can look online. There's a lot of good forums out there. But you definitely need an all-season tire. You know, we're going to have snow. You know, check the snow rating of that and the winter driving rating of that tire. But, yeah, just, you know, follow the referral. you know, I would like to say I'd like to see 50,000 miles out of a set of tires, but I think you'll find it not uncommon on a new vehicle getting, you know, around 30,000. Now, the sportier vehicles or the lower profile tires, you're going to learn there too that they just don't last as long. Part of that's the way the suspension and handling is designed. So if you have a, you know, a little more of a sporty type vehicle set up, you're going to find yourself buying tires around that 30,000 mile, regardless of the brand. But I think on a small SUV like that or a regular vehicle that we most drive, I think 50,000 miles is what I would hope to get.
Okay. Is it a good idea, Texter says, ask to use Seafoam every once in a while? I know we talk about additives here and there. What do you think?
I don't think it hurts. I also don't think it's necessary. You know, there's a lot of products out there that will claim to fix a vehicle. And like I've always said, you can't fix a vehicle out of a can. As far as maintenance goes, some of those cleaning agents, you know, they're cleaning fuel injectors and cleaning some of this other stuff. I do think they help. So it's not the worst idea. Follow the instructions and make sure you use as described. And, you know, make sure you check on the price too. Some of these products get kind of costly, where you might find that if I'm doing this quite often, it gets pretty expensive. So just be careful on what you use and what you spend.
I was looking, as I was filling up my gas tank the other day, this past week, a gentleman putting in some additive in his gas tank. And I was wondering if it was that old product called Heat. We don't have to do that anymore, do we?
No, those products were like, you know, essentially alcohol, which is what the ethanol and the fuel is. So we don't have the issues we had years ago where there'd be moisture collecting and you'd end up with water in the fuel. And that doesn't really happen anymore unless there's another issue with that filling station. But the ethanol and the fuel kind of absorbs all that, so you don't have to worry. And, you know, that's one product where I just don't think it's necessary. You know, if you feel strongly about it, by all means, you know, I don't think you're hurting anything. I think maybe it's just wasteful with your pocketbook.
Yeah. All right. This listener asked, does oil labeled high mileage over 75,000 miles have any advantages over regular full synthetic? My car has 140,000 miles on it. Thanks. Great show. They enjoy it. Thank you. Yeah. What do you think about this? Is it just marketing? What do you think?
Well, I do, you know, I've said many times, I'm not a chemist, and I do believe that the engineers have found that they can put certain additives in there that can help with some of the seals and some of those things. I'm not sure I would spend more money on it. I personally believe if you buy a good quality brand product, you're fine. I don't think you need to go that extra step. You know, follow the oil change interval. We like 5,000 miles on the synthetic oils, 3,000 on the conventional, which is far, you know, fewer and fewer on the road now. But you use a branded, good quality product. I don't think the extra additives are necessary. If you feel you want to try them, I'm not sure. I don't believe you're hurting anything either. So, you know, it's your pocketbook. If you want to spend the extra couple dollars, go ahead. But I don't think it's going to make a big difference in the vehicle.
Another cold weather question. Is it okay to use the remote start on extremely cold mornings?
I'm pretty sure we all will. I know I will. You can use the remote start, but don't think you're use the remote start to let the car sit there and run for the 5 or 10 minutes it doesn't shut off. You need to go drive the vehicle. So that's not going to help charge the battery. So at idle, your alternators, you know, your engine's moving too slowly to allow the alternator to really put out at capacity. So you need to drive the vehicle. So if you're going to go for a drive today, the car, you know, like we always say, you can start the car and after a few moments, it's fine. That, you know, the lubrications are starting to happen. Things are moving around. The oil's thinned out a bit, but it's more of our comfort. You know, make sure the windshields are cleared. Make sure, you know, things are warmed up. You don't want to be a chatterbox in your car. So, you know, do the remote start, let it run for the 5-6 minutes that it does, hop in and head off on down the road.
So you're saying that at idle, the battery is not really getting charged, not at that low speed?
No, it's not. And as I told you before, I bought a new vehicle myself. So when I hit the remote start, you know, it has the heated seats on and all these other things going on, which not really my comfort. I need to figure out how to shut that off. I get hot, so I don't like them. But, you know, and like at idle, you know, the engine's running, you know, 1,800 RPMs. Well, that alternator's only put out a certain percentage of capacity. It really needs to be at that 1,500, 2,000 RPMs, which the engine is when we're headed down the road. So at that higher RPM, the alternator's spinning faster. Therefore, it's creating more current. You know, so you, like I said, the remote start's a nice thing to get it warmed up for us to get into it, but it's not helping the car keeping that battery charged.
We have time for, I think, one more. This is about the tire pressure sensors, and I think we've had this in the past, but it's a good question. Can tire air pressure sensors go bad after time?
You know, they can, and I don't know how long they last. You know, my Tim drives my old truck, which is, 13 years old now, and we've never replaced the sensors in them. So if that's a test, you know, firsthand test saying after 13 years, those sensors still read. So we've also replaced them every day at the shop, too, on cars that are younger. So there's no rhyme or reason to the length of them. If the light starts flashing, that tire light's flashing, that's kind of giving you a heads up that one of those sensors isn't reading properly, whether it lost its programming or the battery is bad. It requires a little testing. But those systems are great. You know, it's sad that people ignore them because days like today, you don't want to have a flat tire. Nobody wants to be on the side of the road changing a tire when it's sub-zero. So check your pressures. Keep them topped off. If the light's flashing, have your shop next time you're in, take a look at it. Maybe you need a new sensor and have it reinitialized.
All right, and that's, that has a battery in it, but this, the do-it-yourselfer doesn't really have that capability of changing the battery, right?
No, you don't. You know, unfortunately, you have to separate the tire from the wheel, which you need the tire machine that the shop has. So it is a little bit involved, but it's worth it. You know, and you don't, like I said, you don't want a flat tire, especially a day like today. Right. Nobody wants to be out there trying to change that.
Or Monday night. All right, Nick, again, for those that need some help from Lloyd's, how do we find Lloyd's Automotive?
Yes, sir. You can always reach us, 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. Stop and say hi. And always, as always, do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Always do, Nick. Thanks so much. Stay warm, you and your crew, and we'll talk 1 week from today.
Sounds like a plan.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.